high and deep to right. Over toward the line, Acuna's got it. Tagging from second is Bibas. Whoa! They got him! Are you kidding me? A frozen rope. Bibas cannot believe it.
84 degrees, slight breeze out of the northeast. The pool's 86, and the family's down there. So where's this boy got to be real soon? But for right now, I am high top!
Woo! Baby!
Play it, boys.
Hail to the chief.
Hail to the chief. That ain't so, Sammy. That ain't so. Rockin' and roll from high atop.
It ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't no fortunate boy.
The east side.
Some folks are born silver.
The east side of Mission City today. How we doing? All right, let's get the wires straight, Richie. There. We're good. Let's see. Volume's up on one. Volume up on the Roadcaster device. The chief, good. And I took off the song, Fortunate Son. I could play it for hours on hours. And I think I've hit all the right buttons, flying solo. And I am high atop the east side of Ocean City, well, on the east coast. 14th floor looking over, my lord. And I can see the family in the pool. So we are going to keep this baby to a half hour since we've exceeded the curfew probably the last 5-6 podcasts. The feedback, if you missed Boa, he was last week. It was a good one. You can tune in, catch Boa. Around about 42 strong. And we've developed a nice rapport, which is cool. So some of you have said, and happy Monday morning now. You're going to get this afternoon. So let's make it current for your viewing time, listening time. Happy Monday afternoon. Maybe drive time. Could be Tuesday morning. few of you have said you took us literally on the stats part, and you've kind of said there's a happy medium that won't be pleasing to everyone, of course, right? Some prefer just to pontificate, editorialize, yada, yada, some like the stats. So since we're still kind of the middle of the season, not quite, three-fifths maybe, right? I thought we'd try to keep today's podcast for a half hour Phillies-centric. We know what the league looks like. We know the American League. We know who we fear or don't fear. I don't know that there's a team in baseball that you would say you fear. Or at least I don't. You heard me say to Bo last week that I felt stronger than recent years about the Phillies, because it's very difficult to watch the big three. No sooner said than hexed. Go into the seventh inning every game and allow one or two runs. You can't watch that every night. First of all, I don't find it entertaining baseball, truth be told. I'm a fan of transparency, full transparency. And it's tough to watch. It is hard to watch, no scoring. And that's the discipline, you know, seven innings, one, two runs, and will the offense get three? That's the name of the tune. Play that funky music and all that stuff, because that's what they do. But be that as it may, let's talk about our Phillies a little bit. And as we traverse through some of this, and if you don't like the stats, just put some earmuffins on a little bit, because I can't promise you they won't get a little bit ugly that way. Because it is, as I said, it's a core-centric Phillies. So you talk about, in theory, you got to talk about the stats. You're going to define the Phillies, right? There are some things to like, and what's interesting about the podcast is in about 8 to 12 minutes from now, I'm going to give you a overall composite score by position. Of each position on the team, starting pitching, relief pitching, da 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 da, and you're going to be really shocked. Yeah, you are, because the other stats I talk about, you're not going to love. Then you're going to hear this win by position thing, and you're going to go, it's like war. Some say it's a little more all-encompassing. But we'll get there, right? So everybody knows that we're 56 and 43. How do we play against 500 teams? This draws a lot of criticism from the wise guys. With the men and women thing equal now, and all that's always been equal, but now if the focus more on women's sports and whatnot, should we say the wise people instead of the wise guys? How about that? Anyhow, it's 27 and 28. We've been below 500 against 500 teams now for 4 years. You've heard me say it podcast after podcast after podcast. The push on that is that all teams struggle against 500 teams, which isn't accurate, all right? So the Phillies right now are 14th for a reason. Why? Because there's 13 teams with better record against 500 teams. Well, how much better can you be? Well, certain years Atlanta was 20 games over 500 against 500 teams. Dodgers were 26 one year. So is it possible? Are the elite teams at least 10 games above 500 on 500 record? Yeah, they are. They do it every year. They will this year. So what's the number one right now? The team that I said last week that if there was a team that scared you a little bit, it would be Milwaukee. They don't jump off the page offensively. They'll also put up a little lack of slug a little bit. But with the pitching healthy now and a 10-game win streak, it's funny, we said that last week, and they were probably, what, three or four down. They pop out another six or seven. They're to be reckoned with. I think this year I would say Milwaukee's real. I never said that about Milwaukee Brewers. I don't know that I'll ever say it again. Maybe I won't say it next Monday. But they're currently 32 and 24 against teams with 500. And then it goes down, and like I said, the Phillies are 14th. Make of it what you will. 14th is 14th. It simply means there's 13 teams better than we are against 500 teams, all right? We got a half-game lead. That's great over the Mets. I don't have a lot of respect for the Mets. I don't think they'll pitch, and I don't think they'll hit, to tell you the truth. We're fourth in run differential in the National League at plus 60. That's actually a little higher than we typically run. I almost said the Bears, the Cubbies, plus 123. The last 20 games, the Phillies are 9-11. Certainly not spectacular. How about the AL East? How about that? You've got Toronto at 58 and 41. You've got the Yankees. I'll just read these. You could put them in the order. I know Toronto's first, but Yankees 55 and 44, plus 112 run differential. 52-48 Tampa Bay. Boston now on a hot streak. They got rid of somebody, didn't they? Clear my voice. 54 and 47. They're coming to town. We'll see how that goes. Plus 60 in a run differential. And Toronto, who's hot as a firecracker, we talked about, 58 and 41. So they're plus 30. So the it's interesting that we played Toronto pretty well. But if you take the American League East at plus 300, the top four teams, that's more than the field of green teams. In other words, those four teams add up to plus 300 run differential, which is more than all the rest of the run differential, plus everybody else is negative. So all the action's in the AL East, and that's a tough division because I would say the Yankees, Tampa Bay, Boston maybe. I'm talking about getting better from this point forward. I don't trust Toronto. Gosh, when we play Toronto, our pitching just seemed to, I don't know. They don't seem to come. I don't trust Toronto. They're 58 and 41 all day long. We did pretty good against them. Anyway, let's talk Phillies baseball. 4.59. I promise you I'd round up. 4.6 runs per game. Is 11th in baseball. No big deal. Richie, can you make up a new thing that just says no big deal. We don't have that button, do we? Doubles below league average, right? We're below league average, which is, you know, 158. We're at 157. Home runs, below league average. I know Richie's going to come up with something for these negatives. Below league average in home runs and doubles. Well, we talked about it. We lack slug. Stolen bases, we're seventh, but we're not. Now, this is a pet peeve, okay? Don't, please, microphone, don't break here because I really need to go off on this topic. Gang, we don't run for an 81, 82% success rate, and you know what's happened since they moved the bases and enlarged the bases. We got to run more early in the count. The reason we don't run is we sit into the fifth and sixth pitch. When you got first and third, quintessential, and stop with the who's up next stuff, when God gives you a free base in baseball, softball, you take it. And when God gives a three-point shooter a wide-open look, you better knock it down, all right? Much less take it. We have first and third, and Bo and I text back on this often. First and third, Rojas on first. I don't care who's up. I don't care if it's Turner, and you say, oh, they're going to walk Turner. Go ahead. Walk Turner and load the bases. That's really inviting. That's a way to have a small inning, right? So the other night, Rojas waits to pitch number six. Let's pull my hair out, right? Here's a guy with a 90%. Get down to second base. Let's get the ball moving around because if they do throw down on Rojas, the guy from third can walk home unless they put a play on. But you know first and third, you get the extended lead, right? Your catcher gets up, watch the fake, take an extra 5 to 6, and see where the middle infield is doing. He's either going to the bag or coming up short for the throw home. If he goes to the bag, you walk home. I walk home. I have no legs. Other teams do it with great consistency, and they run early. Watch the game this weekend, running early. So stolen bases at seventh is an asset, but the leader's got 130. We're at 85. What's wrong with that stat? It should mimic the 120, 125, 130 areas. I have a problem with that. We need to run more at 82%. Walks, we're good. We're six. All right. Thank God we walk. What do the leaders do that walk? It's called the Yankees and the Dodgers lead the league at 1-2. Do good teams walk? You won't see too many teams their last place record lead the league in walks. Let me tell you that. You show me that in baseball, you got a freebie at the Capitol Grill. So we're redeeming ourselves through a better eye this year, okay? We were higher than that. We are dropping, so I should give you that too. Something else that's saving the team, you're going to be shocked to hear this. You asked for a breakdown of the Phillies. You're going to get a breakdown of the Phillies. Thank you very much, Mrs. Wiedemeyer. A low K rate. Oh, that's not possible. This team, all they do is strike out. It would seem so, wouldn't it? You know, the old eye test. Don't you love the eye test? A couple people say that on WIP, and I don't want to mention names because one of them I like very much, the god of. But, you know, he's a big eye tester. He got me on Bobby Abreu one day and lit my ass up, you know. Well, the eye test. I said, let me ask you something, Ray. Oops. I said, did the season with 54 doubles followed up by 48 doubles, what did the eye test do for those, you know, 320 games? The eye test. Stop with the eye test. The eye test over 162 events means you've watched, okay? You've watched all the hours of baseball, and you know you damn well have it. So stop with the eye test. So here's the bottom line. They're 10th best in K rate, which is good. If you're walking a lot and striking out less than the others, that's a good thing, and that's probably what's saving the team a lot. Offensively, I mean, something adds up to the 4.6 runs per game, even though it's 11th when you have no slug. Well, take a look at walks, take a look at strikeouts. 7.8 strikeouts per game, not bad. Then you go back to batting average, and this is kind of where the anomaly starts a little bit, because they're 6th in batting average at 255. You know, you say, well, how important is batting average? You know, well, the 500 teams are 1 through 6. Here you go, that's that important. Again, you won't find a team batting 188 at the first place. That's a little redeeming. Fifth and on base. So, you hit, and I talked about the walk, so obviously that will correlate, translate to on-base percentage, 330. How do the better teams do, 1 through 5? They're all the better teams, okay? Slug, now we invite the problem. Dump da dump dump. Richie, give me a dump da dump or something. Slug 405. League average, it's just about 405. Top five teams all have good slug. If you're not slugging, you ain't OPS in part of my language. So, of course, we're 10th in OPS. We save OPS because of batting average and on base. So we save OPS a little bit. Again, what are the top five teams doing? They're doing really good. You know, if you're in the top five in OPS, you're in the top five of records. Before we flip the page here, we talked about the AL East powerful, and suddenly this is something I've never said on the podcast, and what are we going on, close to 200 shows now. Mitch, pay attention, my good my partner, as you would say, partner. Love it when Mitch calls you partner in a text. Hey, partner. Love it. Nobody says partner like Mitch. NL Central. The central cast of I could say frauds, but that's not fair. The Cubbies are legit. They're 123 run differential. We talked about that. Milwaukee at plus 83, 10-0 streak. Just watch these guys, gang. As Boa, again, I refer back to Boa. Listen to the podcast, and I don't have to refer back. I'll say as Boa said, right? As Boa and I were saying, Milwaukee does a lot of the little things right. If you heard the last podcast, we talked about those little things. First to third, hitting cuts, grinding the account, the pitching count, just a million, you know, making that, getting that jump, running down the ball. How many balls does it look like dropped in center field this weekend? Marsh, oh my, Brad Marsh, oh my God, him and Castellanos alongside each other are going to go down as the worst center field, right field combination in baseball history since modern DRS has been kept, let's call that like the turn of the century. So I'm going to probably go on the radio tomorrow and say that. I hate to always sound negative, but what's the exciting parts of the Phillies? I won't get to it. There is something actually exciting. But the AL Central, Cincy with a plus 40 run differential, which is really, you know, you just don't ever think in terms of Cincinnati being for real, do you? But they could be a team that messes other teams up in that wild card finish. Keep an eye. Why? Because manager Terry Francona knows how to win a game or three. And the cards will never know their identity, right? They'll never know their identity. So you take a look at the offensive numbers, you know, and we've taken you through OPS. And that's kind of the framework of this team. But, you know, the best part of the profile of the team is clearly not the offense run production. In pitching-wise, which everybody, of course, would be more excited about, we're ninth, but that's very deceptive, very deceiving, 3.73. ERA. Number one in June, 3.20. The teams that are leading are 500 teams. We don't have to say this for every stat. If you have a good metric in a category, you're typically 500, you know, 135. But not everybody. There are exceptions, right? Now, let's talk about some exceptions. Here's three teams pitching really good. Name the three teams right now, Tommy, that we will not see in the World Series. They may make the playoffs. They may win an early round. I'll give you that, maybe. Probably not. All right? I'm going to give you three teams that can't score worth a single lick of the taffy. All right? I can't watch these teams, and you will not see these teams in the World Series. I want you all certified. Give it to your uncle and your baseball aunt, friends. I don't care, people on the boardwalk. Three teams that lead in pitching, okay? Texas, number one, at 3-2-1. And we'll talk about our bullpen in a second. KC, number two, at 3-4-9. San Fran, number three, at 3-5-3. Now, let's take a look at where they are offensively. Remember, good hitting beats good pitching. You've seen it every year, all right? They're your top three pitching. Texas, 25th of run production, four. K KC, 29th. How about KC in a series against the Marlins? Couldn't score a run, right? They're 29th. You don't believe that. The KC has a good reputation. They do some other things well. One of them is not hit. 29th at 3.43. Now, we've gone on stretches where we've scored three runs a game. You know how tough it is to watch a team all season long that scores 3.4 runs per game? You're going to watch your share of ones that feels like the Phillies offense. When you think about us being 4-6, and that's been, there's been droughts. Try to swallow 3.43, man. That is really bad. And San Fran, who's just, in their series, just pathetic. That new guy, Devers, 23rd at 4.08. All right, bottom line, drum roll, Richie. You will not see the above three teams in the World Series. Take it to the bank. All right, Citizens Bank. So you take a look at all that, and you look at the pitching a little bit more, and we're in the top 10 in not allowing home runs. Remember on offense, what some of the redeeming metrics. Okay, in terms of not striking out, a hell of a lot. Walks, right? You got to do everything in baseball. So in pitching, all right, we're not allowing home runs. That's huge. Walks is, I'm going to say huger. How about that? That's funny. Walks is huge because do you remember the old Phillies teams that had problems? How about teams you watch that can't throw strikes? How about the cat for the Angels that came in and not only couldn't hit the K zone, how about him throwing balls 4 feet outside the K zone, down, up? If I'm the manager, I got to walk out to that mound and say, listen, I'm sorry, buddy. I love you. I hope you have a good career elsewhere. But we have a bus waiting for you, so you have to go out that exit right there. C6, go under the tunnel 6, follow through, be careful not to slip on your cleats, and keep on walking. There's an air-conditioned bus waiting for you. It's a blessing that you get the air conditioner, and we're going to take you to the next town that we're trading. We've already released you, so good luck. Major League Baseball, you bring in a relief pitcher that can't throw a ball near the plate. The Angels got like four guys in their bullpen, and everybody's, oh, look at the Angels. Oh, they're really good, aren't they, with Trout? That's disgusting. All right, so we don't walk. We strike out everybody. We're number two in keys, 908. Houston number one, 961. So there we are. We don't give up home runs. We control the walks and we strike you the hell out. Now that really helps the pitching numbers, right? And our K to walk ratio, that's a big one, is number three in baseball. The Achilles heel, of course, has been the bullpen where we need help. And I don't think Roberts is the answer. We'll see. Postseason, do you trust Luzardo? Again, drum roll, not. Do you trust Romano? Drum roll, not. So who do you really trust out of the bullpen? Well, Alvarado, but he won't be there. Boy, what a death blow he gave us so far for the bullpen. Just change everything up on its hindquarters, just boom, flip the whole thing, right? Kirkering, I trust him. I don't know that Kirkering's a closer, but I trust him with his 2.95 year, right? Everyday strong. I mean, 3.25. I don't have a problem with those two guys. Bauer talked me out of the notion that Noel's going to go to the pen. I accept that. I'll yield. Because of Luzardo. All right, because of Luzardo. And don't think you're going to suddenly run up somebody else from the minors who's going to be your number four. That's asinine. Noah, to Bo's point, could just be perfectly primed to get loose, stretch out, get ready, come in fresh. Oh, man, a fresh arm in September, maybe mid-August. And boy, could he be a filthy number four. I mean, first of all, he's insulted by it. Take a look at his career numbers, Colin, and you're going to make him number four, right? Remember, Kyle coined the old Nola Stinks thing. In jest, of course. We're not going to pick on Kyle anymore because that little financial guru has given me such great investment advice with this crypto stuff. I didn't know what the word Ether meant 18 months ago. I knew Bitcoin because I had that a long time ago. But I mean, he's, man, hats off to you, bro. Whew, man, have you helped. So we're not you're exempt now, Kyle. So yeah, we make a move, we pick up, we had good numbers at 24. We'll see. Certainly not the answer. Is the team going to do something major to fix the bullpen, like a closer, like fitting in? We talked about with Boa, isn't great. We kill the guy, gets other teams out. Oakland's not giving up Miller. They're building, so they think they need Miller. They don't need Miller for two more years. So they should build and pick up a minor league prospect or three for Miller. And that's where you look at GMs. So that's a separate podcast. We could talk about the top five best GMs. You're going to say payroll, but, man, when you look at the job Cashman does as a GM, you got to kind of follow New York to realize it. I mean, okay, see you, Soto. Let's have less payroll. Let's make the Yankees better than when they had Soto. And you're like, oh, that's not possible. It can't happen. Yeah, well, it's happening, okay? How about the guy Rizzo in Washington that pulled off a trade where three guys got as good a war as Soto? I mean, GMship, right? So we got to do something along the lines of major. If you're going to play a pat hand with this team, you're going to rely on all pitching. All right, we'll get into that in a second, right? Because what the imbalance in this club, you know, you've got, going back to the offense, you've got, of course, Harper, of course, an MVP-type year from Schwarber. I mean, just amazing what he did at the All-Star game. That was so friggin' cool what he did. Just a watershed Philly moment, man, if maybe one of the best ever. I watched it till the end. I did not know the format. Here comes Schwarber up. I was hoping so bad he'd be the player announced. And I don't know what the American League was doing, but I think they were stuck with the players anyway. If you've played baseball, whether or not you've been in a formal home run hitting contest, which I've done five times in my life, a couple of them softball, and I wasn't a home run hitter, by the way. You do it for fun. You do it because it's a picnic atmosphere. You do it whatever. A couple times it was sponsored by the leagues. But when you're trying to hit, I mean, just stopping at a field with a bucket of baseballs and three of your friends. We used to do that at lunchtime at Infantron. There was a field that we'd go down to in Haddon Heights. It was 310. We did it down in Ocean City, right down the street here. There's an outfield, right field fence. I'm left-handed. That was 310. How many times I would hit the top of the fence as if God knew to make it 310, and it was like a 10-foot fence, and I'm hitting the very top of it, is because you don't have the faster pitch, and they're lobbing them in. Same thing with this field, Haddon Heights. I mean, you're trying to hit a home run. You change your swing. And, I mean, he gets three different pitches and three swings. So you don't get your warm-up swing, right? Ask yourself, if you want to know how tough it is to do what Schwarber did, go back in the home run hitting contest. They did do it the All-Star night before. And see how many home run hitting contestants hit the first three swings out consecutively, right? Swing number one, two, and three out. And I bet it hasn't happened twice, if at all. And it's that hard to do. And the last one was low, and he goes down on one knee, and then it was just unbelievable. Oh, boy. So we're going to wrap up the Phillies part of it with the defense. Of course, they're still number 27th. It's a dumpster fire on defense. And Cassidy's minus 15, and Marsh is minus 12. How about JT minus 6? That's a little eye-testy weird, but I trust the numbers, right? You just don't see winning teams at a minus 27 DRS. You just don't see it. It's not in World Series history. Trey is a break even, which is pretty cool. We opened with the throw by Acuña, 300-foot throw on the money. How cool was that? And good decoy by his third baseman. And the runner wasn't killing it. The third base coach had had him down, should have been on the ground, give him a slide angle, and he's probably safe. I like on the play the hustle by the home. Well, not the hustle. That's where the home plate umpire's got to be for a guy that makes $460,000 a year. You got to be at third base. That's a rotation play. Well, who covers home? The first base umpire's got nothing to do once the runner passes first base, and he has done what before he leaves his area? Before you vacate your zone as an umpire, you look at first base. What don't you do, Little League umpires? What don't you do that I've seen Little League umpires do, thinking they're really doing a good job? Watch me. I'm hyper-energized. Watch me do this. Point. You know, point to first base. He hit first base. I'll point at it, you know? Now, that's in your mind for the appeal, right? You don't tell the whole ballpark, yeah, he touched first base. I just pointed at it, you know? Right, and you also don't have body language. I've seen that before with amateur umpires. Like, oh my God, he missed first base, and you can tell right away, you know. They can become transfixed, you know, like keep staring at first base, like waiting for the throw over. Most of the time, a little like that doesn't come because no one's paying attention. Always assign a coach to the bases. Did that with every coach that ever played for me. I watched it too. All right, I don't think I ever missed first base. I may have missed second because the action's different when it's second base. But you always have a coach that's got to watch first base, right? That's requisite, okay? But as umpires, you know, you keep it to yourself. You don't sell it. You don't give it away. But in the pros, well, at any level, if you have four umpires, you have that swing where you got to get first base from first, and third base gets out to get a good look. In that view, you'll also see the second base ump is running over to back up the home plate. Now, what happens when you have two umpires that close? Well, they have to remember who's going to make a call, because in Little League, what you see often with hustle plays, two-man crews, this is common. Amateur umpires not getting paid, given, you know, putting their heart into it, very passionate. And all of a sudden, you've got the second base umpire coming back to first, and the home plate umpire thinks he needs to be at first, and they both make, or third base more than first, and they both make a simultaneous call, one safe, one out. Okay, that happens a lot. You know, then you gotta unwind all that stuff, and they talk about it. And Little League, I always said to the guys I worked with, guys, we got to get it right. Tommy, you kicked. Oops, I shouldn't say Tommy. Let's call imaginary Tommy. Tommy, wink, you kicked the call, buddy. I mean, you got out, I got safe. I want to override you on this one because the kid's stone cold safe in Little League Baseball. You don't want to discourage kids. You don't want to discourage parents. Ooh, boy, shoot, they're like Little League, okay? And that's a pod for another day, too. You want to get the call right. And now we do that in Major League Baseball by review. But you got to get the call right. All calls got to get right. But anyway, it was neat to see the home plate umpire at third base on that. And then we could talk about all the other great throws, but that's a podcast for another day, too. Is that my favorite of all time? No. Now, I got three that I like more. I'm always going to take Parker's play in the All-Star game with Pete Rose at first base and the collision at home plate. I'll always take that. Ichiro threw a clothesline. He just threw absolute lasers home that were line drive throws. Hicks hit 100 miles an hour one time. It's like watching Sandy Koufax, Bob Gibson, throw from deep left field, 100 miles an hour. Don't forget the Jackson throw. Picks it up in left field. Don't forget the throw. Was it Ankiel? Who was it? The left fielder that picked up a ball left center and threw it 320 feet back to first base on a tag? You know, you have all top 10 throws are all great, right? I'll take the guy for Parker from Pittsburgh anyway. So talked about that. And time-wise, chop, chop, chop. Let's just leave you with this win by position. It's like a war stat. It's done differently. And I definitely want to get this out before we go because this is pretty compelling. I think we should stay right around 35 minutes of time. Check this out, man. Check this out. Wins above average by position. over the years, deadly accurate. Had the Yankees and Dodgers 1-2 last year. Deadly accurate, okay? How about this? Number one team in baseball, all positions weighted. Weighted, keyword, weighted, okay? How about the Cubbies, number one? That in itself won't shock you. The weight may shock you because, remember, this is weighted now, okay? So you got to say by how much counts. 12.5, all things weighted. Yankees are number two, very interesting, at 10.9. So the Cubbies have a pretty good lead there, all right? How about our Phils are number three at 8.4. Man, was I shocked. I don't get shocked by a lot of stats because I live in stats. I'm waist deep every day of my life in Grimley or baseball stats. I was shocked to see this. I knew Pitchy would be number one. Houston, 7.84. Milwaukee on the rise. The Rising Junior, remember that? That's 6.9. And so on and so forth. Dodgers are 11th currently. That's how many problems they've got. At 3.8. The Cubs are 12.5. Follow this closely because this is saying that the Dodgers have no chance. And, you know, but it is weighting things as they are at the moment, right? Obviously, there can be a shift in this. The Cubs start playing worse and their pitching starts getting knocked around and their hitters stop hitting. They won't be 12.5, obviously, right? But at the time being, now, how do the Phillies get such a lofty rating, number three at 8.4? All pitchers included, all pitching, they're 9.5, by far number one in baseball. KC is second at 7.4. Phillies are number one by a lot. Starting pitching is 9.8. That's number one. KC is second at 6.6. So the Phillies starting pitching, what this metric is screaming, isn't comparable to the number two or anybody else. And that's how you feel watching. That's what we've said in every podcast, right? Relief pitching for the Phillies is ninth at negative 0.3. Then you get into the positions, which is catching is number 14. First base is 6 plus 1.1. The rest of them are negatives. The second base is 21st in baseball, minus one. Third base is 17th in baseball, minus, I'm going to round up. You don't want to hear 0.7, right? Minus one. Shortstop, a plus position, is 7th in baseball, plus 1.6. How about our outfield, gang? You knew this, but you didn't know it was this bad. Left field, 25th in baseball. They're all minus. I won't say them. Center field, 27th in baseball. Right field, 28th in baseball. Our outfield added up is 28th in baseball, right? Our DH, of course, is third in baseball at plus 1.6. I don't have to tell you who's number one, do I? And our pinch hitters are number 20. So when you look at the composite scoring, you look on offense, and of course this is defense too, and this team is below average, and it is so carried by starting pitching, right? But there's not much balance in it. The starting pitching by a lot, which is really something else, because you knew it was, as a Philly fan, non-Philly fan, you probably said, yeah, I will give you the best in baseball, but you don't see the ERA popping up, number one, two, or three, or four, or five, right? It's a little confusing. That's so weighted down by the bullpen. Well, when you took, I know we had a little concern yesterday with Ranger, and if you look at his career second half numbers, they're more than a little concerning. He goes in the tank in the second half. He did last year. Stay tuned. What can I tell you? But this is interesting that the starting pitching is so good that the Phillies weight it right now on the third best team in baseball, according to wins above average by position. A stat that I have put tremendous reliance on. and not to my detriment, may I add. Not to my detriment. So stay tuned on this one too. But the starting pitching is, you know, leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else, which yanks the Phillies up. When you look at this outfield and you think about the fact that it's pretty much been the same deal, 22, 23, 24, 25, and you haven't improved it. You know, the GM, and I know it's, what are you going to do with Castellanos? Who's going to move Castellanos? He's minus 14 DRS. He'll have the worst back-to-back years by an outfielder ever in the history of baseball, okay, including Luzinski. Yeah, including Bull by a lot. Wait till I show it to you, okay? You'll be shocked. There are a couple seasons where Bull did okay out there. That's another podcast, too. But we're running out of time rapidly here. But you look at that outfield, 28th in baseball. You look at Castellanos, dead last in baseball defensively. And you have to solve some of the Phillies' problems. Go get an outfielder that can catch the ball, bat 260, and put up a 750 OPS, can steal some bases, grind a little bit, use pitches. And he's a smart, heady player that will always take the extra base, stuff like that. There are guys out there like that. And there's teams like Arizona that, how much longer is Arizona going to be in the top three in run production, which are every year? Every year, they're second, third this year, and not have pitching, all right? So, especially with the kid from Uses not having a great year. So, Phillies, give up some of your pitching. I don't care if it's who it is, if it's Abel and, okay, Crawford and, okay, get Marte. Get, you know, the kid in center field, the demon, Carroll. Help us defensively immeasurably. Bring in, you're not going to get, you know, Crow Armstrong, whatever that kid's name. Imagine that he was available. Imagine the Mets now trying to absorb that they got rid of him. Oh, my Lord. You know, what a baseball player. And now he hits home runs, 100 RBIs, and jumps over fences. He's Superman. The Cubs have Superman. Oh, gee, what do you know? The Cubs have the best run differential. Gee, what do you know when guys play defense? How it all works out, right? The Phillies are treating this horrible defensive ranking, and they're indifferent to it. They're saying we can win without it, okay? And, you know, when I talked to Bo last week, he certainly wasn't worked up about it, was he? So you have the worst outfield in baseball. I mean, the other two guys, you're going to count the Colorado and White Sox. And how about the Pirates this weekend getting lamb blasted three straight? Pittsburgh. Just pack it in, guys. Just pack it in. The teams that are for real. Now, this is funny because, well, not too funny. The Phillies have that scant lead. I love the word scant lead in the NL East. I wonder how many mistakes I've made so far today with all these numbers. If they don't win the NL East, how easy it is for them to fall out of the wild card contention. How it's easy for that to happen. And you look at the schedule and you look at the remaining July and Red Sox, Yankees, and with the Marlins playing way better, nobody can figure out why. It's too funny. I'm asking people in Major League Baseball, the batting coach for the Mets for 20 years. He's, yeah, I'm not really sure. Oh, guess what? The manager was on MLB and he was asked to talk about why the Marlins are playing better. And I didn't have time to record it. I rewind and record it. First thing he said was, we're not really sure. So I said, it was pretty credible that we put out why the Marlins playing better. Yes, it brought up a couple guys. Yes, they're pitching better. All the above, stealing, okay. But to see the Marlins take over the Braves and then separate from them, oh, how embarrassing to the Braves. You keep thinking the Braves are going to be a factor somewhere. No, they're not. Put a fork in them. So then what does that the Greek GM do, Anthotropoulos, what does he do? Do you start breaking parts up for the Braves? Remember, they signed all these guys at 10-year contracts, Harris and company, Albies, Harris, because you're going to win three World Series. How sad is it if you start to put a fork in it and start breaking it up? And by the way, if they're going to start to break it up, we take some of those pieces. Gang, we need an offensive machine, all right? We need one more offensive machine that can play defense is what we need. And I got to get out of here because I can't believe it already. With edits, I'm at 40. Just can't be. It's not possible. All right, so down here for the week with the family. Fun times. Great dinner last night. A lot of commotion with the kids and pictures. And, oh, my Lord. Filets from Arnie's, the best of the world. He's got a shop down here to go in and see Mark Jr. And I call him Arnie Jr. And he's morphing into Arnie. It's great. The shop's expanded. So if you're down the shore, I don't care if you're in Cape May or Tom's River or Cape and Lopin. Where's Cape and Lopin? Are you kidding me? Anywhere. I don't care. If you're in New York, Staten Island, Long Island, down to Delaware, go to Arnie's in Ocean City, okay, on Asbury, I think 13th and Asbury. The shop is growing. It's morphing into the Arnie's of Cherry Hill. And we had great fillets last night and spaghetti and red sauce and... Oh, we had just a marvelous dinner. It was a lot of fun. So that's it. And I think we've covered business. I've got the record button on. So, Richie, I miss my sister so much. So why don't you, sir, take us out of here? And I want to count the three. And on three, you think of a song that would be appropriate for my sister Lee, Mr. So damn much, it's unbelievable. Man, dear. So y'all have a good week, and I'm going to give Richie a three count, and I bet he's going to come off with a tremendous song for Sis on three. We'll go 3, 2, 1. That's what we'll do. 3, 2, 1. Play it again, Sam. Bam.